We are studying the book of Proverbs. And this morning we're going to talk about the subject of communication, of the words you speak, the tongue, the lips. Do I need to add any other words? I don't think so. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Words you speak are very powerful. They have an ability to destroy or to build up. They have an ability to kill or to give life. They can help you with a new job, or they help you lose your job. They can build a relationship closer, or they can draw you apart. Words are powerful. They have a really strong effect. Matthew 15, verse 18, Jesus said, but the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. In other words, your words come from inside. They come from the heart. What's in the heart will be revealed in the words you say. The tongue, the power of the tongue, is fueled by what's in the heart. You know, when you go to the doctor, sometimes they'll say, stick out your tongue. What do? They're examining the tongue and what's in the mouth to try to see what the health is. A lot of times, your tongue and what you say determines what's in your heart. What's the health of your spiritual life? So monitoring what you say gives you a clue about what's going on inside of you that you may not even be aware of. And it's important to watch out what you say. Now, the first thing as we look at training yourself, because this takes training. These things don't happen naturel. That's French for natural. They don't happen automatically. If they did, we wouldn't have so many problems in this world. But because we don't know what to say, or we say things in the wrong way, we cause all kinds of problems, we need to have training. And the Bible knows this. God knows this. That's why He's given us the Scriptures to help us with what we say, because it has such an important and so powerful effect on the quality of your life. So, the first thing I want you to do is to fill out the blanks here, and it says, weigh your words. Weigh your words before you speak. Weigh your words before you speak. Proverbs 15 and verse 28 says this, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. That's an interesting little statement there. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers. Now, that word weigh, when you want to find out how many pounds or what it is, what you do is you take it and you take a balance or a scale of some kind and you put it on that to ascertain what the heaviness and how much it weighs. When you are trying to speak something, you need to weigh it. You need to put it on to see what the effect will be, what the consequences of what I'm going to say will have. It's as though you're balancing the words that you have at your command. And you're saying, is this the right word? Is this the right way to speak it? Is this the way to say it? Is this the way to present this? Because as I weigh this, I see that this will have an adverse effect. So I need to weigh my words and consider is another way to put this. You need to think about what you say. Now, The Bible in the book of Proverbs speaks of the topic of wisdom. And one of the things that we know about a person who's wise is that they weigh their words. They think about what they're going to say before they say it. A person who is a fool, the Bible calls a person a fool who doesn't think about what they say. They let it fly and let the consequences just roll out. And it says here, they gush, the wicked or the fool, they gush evil. In other words, what comes from their heart, they let it fly, not knowing the consequences a lot of times of their words. Now, saying whatever comes to your mind isn't wise. Would you agree with that? Saying whatever pops into your head is not necessarily a wise thing. Proverbs 29:12 says, there's more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Now, the thing about this, a fool doesn't have a whole lot of hope. If you're a fool, the hope for you in your life isn't much. And a person who doesn't speak, who speaks without thinking, the Bible says here, the writer of Proverbs says, this person has even less hope that their life is going to turn out good if they don't think about what they're saying. Proverbs 10:19 says this, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Sometimes the best thing to do is not to say anything. You don't always have to speak what's on your mind. Sometimes what's on your mind is not good to share. And you don't have enough time to work it out in your mind what you need to do or what's in your heart. So it's best not to say anything. Now, I've been in those situations where I have said something and I got a clue from what I said that I better not say anymore. I don't know if anybody experienced that, but I have had those experiences. And what I've determined was I said enough. I better not say anymore. That'd be the wise thing to do here is not to say anymore and gather my thoughts and think about what I just said, what I just let out, and what does that mean? Where did that come from? Why did I say that? And what would be the better way to say these things and approach this? It says here in Proverbs 13, verse 3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Here's the contrast. The controlling of your tongue and having a long life. There's implication here that if you don't control your tongue, something bad can happen to you. It could even shorten your life. How many people have we read in newspapers who've had their lives shortened because of what they said that started a series of events that caused violence? So watching what you say is an important thing. If you don't want to ruin your life, watch what you say. See, the thing is, I can find myself destroying that which I've tried to build. This word ruin, when you say the word ruin, what do you think of? Do you think of some ancient site where the building has crumbled and for whatever reason it has been destroyed and it's not usable anymore? It's useless. And a ruin is usually something that's been that way for a while now, and they're not going to rebuild it. It can't be replaced. It can't be built again to what it was. They might rebuild there, but it will never be like it was. It's ruined. By what you say, you can find that happening to where something came out and the effect it had ruined things. Now things cannot be the same. It's falling apart. The word you say, Things now start to unravel, and you can't put them back together because of what you said. I remember a camp that I was teaching kids, young kids, age 8 to 12 or something like that. And we had a young man that was saying things about other people that was not true, and causing and saying very hurtful things and things that were a lie, and was causing real damage. And so I happened to have my opportunity to teach that morning. And as I always would do, I would ask for volunteers. And I was looking for this young man as I was asking for volunteers, hoping that he'd raise his hand, because I had some things, a little teaching moment, a little teaching opportunity. So as he's, I said, anybody want to help me with the lesson this morning? I need some help. It's not really hard. You can do it. Anybody? In fact, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have this, see this here? I want you to take this tube of toothpaste, it's Crest, and I want you to see if you can squeeze it and make a straight, and I'm talking about straight now, straight line. Anybody? And he's going. I said, you, come on up. Let's see if you can do this. So I gave him the tube, and here's a little, you know, thing laying out there, and he's really careful, and he's putting it in. Very proud of himself. I said, okay, now, take and put it back in, and don't leave anything out. Oh, it was fun watching him. All over his fingers, and it was a mess. I said, that's what happens when you start telling things about people that aren't true. Once it gets out, it's hard to put it back in. And it causes all kinds of damage. All because you didn't watch what you said. Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. So another version of that, fool people and keep your mouth shut, and they might think you're smart. And let it out, and they'll know who you are, a fool. Now, it's very typical of a person who is wise. It's a habit that they think before they speak. Because what you say can help or it can hurt. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21, it says, the words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. There were some police, and they were interviewing a man. And they said to him, can you describe the man who beat you up? The man said, of course I can. That's what I was doing when he hit me. I'm going to say that again because I don't think you got that. Police were interviewing a man. Can you describe the man who beat you up? The man said, of course I can. That's what I was doing when he hit me. In other words, what he said, oh, I didn't even want to say it. Didn't get it. What you say can be dangerous. The words of the godly will encourage, but fools are going to be destroyed by their lack of understanding, their lack of common sense about what they say and what the consequences to what they say. Proverbs 12:18 says this, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. So now we have a contrast between those who are not wise and those who are wise. Some people make cutting remarks. Now, another version, it says, reckless words pierce like a sword. That's the New International Version. Reckless words pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So the fool is the person who says things recklessly. The words are reckless. And also they are violent. They cause harm. He uses the term here like a sword. A sword in the hand of somebody that doesn't know how to use it can be dangerous. And if you're reckless with that sword, it can cause great harm. It can do violence, do harm to somebody. We would not think of taking a huge sword that's very sharp and just when there are a bunch of people around. Why? Because you never know what's going to happen with that kind of situation. It could really damage somebody. And you may not even wanted to do that. But you caused harm. So the point is that the person who is a fool, who's foolish, will use words in a way that will hurt and harm people. Now, the wise person instead is the person who brings healing. In other words, he's like a doctor. The words he uses can heal the wounds of those who are reckless. He's able to come into a situation and say the right thing so that the things that were hurtful, the things that were cutting, the things that pierced and did damage, the wise person is able to bring, like a physician, come to the situation and bring healing to that situation, saying the right thing in the right way at the right time so that the words are bringing health to that person. Another way that the words can help or hurt, it says, the anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word, another version says the good word, kind of a generic statement here, good word, which could include a lot of things, kind, encouraging, those kind of things, cheers him up. Now, here's the thing. Anxious, anxiety, worry is usually dealing with something in the future that's uncertain. And a person is dealing with those kind of things, and there's fear associated with it. And over a period of time, if you have this anxiety and this sense of worry and fear, you can find a person becoming depressed. The wise person is interested in helping, bringing health, bringing wholeness to others. That's what a wise person does. A person who's not wise will find themselves unable to help, and in fact, contributing to the worry and fear and anxiety of others because they add to the uncertainty of the future. So a person who's wise will give an encouraging word. In other words, the word encouraging here is they speak to the fear. A person who is not encouraging may think they are, but by the words, they know, you know that they have no idea what you're going through. Now, we've all experienced that. We have something that's bothering us, and we decide to share it with somebody, right? And a lot of times you can find out if a person's wise or not just by how they respond. And so you share this thing that's bothering you, and they give you a little cliche that kind of maybe has something to do with it, but it really didn't. It just actually made you irritated. You ever had that? They say something and you know that they don't really understand and know what you're going through, and their little platitude just makes you irritated and makes you feel more alone and isolated because that person has no idea. They have no connection because they don't know what you're going through. They don't know what your fears are, what your worries are. So a wise person has understanding. They're able to weigh the situation. They see the person and they see the circumstances. They see what they're worried about, what they are fearing, and they're able to say something that alleviates the fear. Instead of having fear, they now start to have a sense of courage. They feel courage that they can face this uncertainty. And many ways that this can be done. depends on the circumstance. So the wise person is able to evaluate the circumstance, thinks about it, and has thinking about it, and knows what to say in that situation. That's a wise person. You know, one of the wisest people in the world who's ever lived was Jesus Christ. He was able to say the right thing at the right time in the right way every time. The woman caught in adultery, he knew exactly how to handle that situation. He said certain things to those who were condemning this woman, that dealt with them, and then was able to speak words of encouragement to the woman who was caught, so that it brought freedom, brought relief, and brought encouragement, brought correction. All those things in a few words. Now that's amazing. Jesus' life, as he went through life and the things that he said, he left a trail of healing words. Words that brought health, that brought wholeness, that brought correction. So if we want to be wise, we have to be aware that what we say can have effect of hurting people or helping people. Bringing health or destruction. You can do either one. And the weird thing about it, one day you can bring helpful words, the next day you can hurt. That's bizarre. You could be so helpful one day, the next day you can go right around and do hurtful things. Why? Because you're not thinking. It can come out. You have to be aware. These are powerful things. So let's weigh some things that are said so that we can become wise in our speech. How can what you say bring harm? Let's think about this, because there are some things that we can say and share that can bring harm. First one, when you share things that you shouldn't. When you share things that you shouldn't. Now, this is a big subject in the Proverbs, what you say and how you say it. There's a lot to say about that, so I'm going to kind of try to shrink it down here. One of the things that we share that we shouldn't is called gossip. Gossip. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." Now, here's interesting to me. It says the words of a gossip. This is a person, a gossip. Their words are like choice morsels. And what does that say? What is that saying? People like their words. Why would they like their words? In fact, they're a choice morsel. In other words, they're kind of like wonderful food. It's like a person has chocolate. People are drawn to that person. Ooh, they have chocolate. Do you have any extra? I would just like just a little piece, just one. Thank you very much. Maybe two. Got any more extra? I'm really liking this. And you take these little morsels. Pretty soon, you just... you love it. Funny, when people hear bad things about other people, they just... at first, they're not going to listen. And then you hear, ooh, really? What else did they say? What did he do? I can't believe that. You know, maybe I shouldn't share it, but... and we got it going. We got this little sharing of information that should not even be shared. Now, people like hearing gossip. They like hearing usually gossip is kind of a negative thing. It has some kind of slander to it, some kind of misrepresentation or something that's a negative about someone else. And usually the people that are involved in the gossip have nothing to do with fixing the problem that they're talking about. In other words, these people will not contribute to anything that will bring resolution or bring health or help in the situation. They just like to talk about it. So I guess here's a rule. If you're not part of the problem, or you're not a solution to the problem, and you're talking about it, you have a problem. You're a gossip. Now, a gossip. Proverbs 25, verse 23, it says, as surely as a north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. If you want to experience anger, if you like dealing with angry people, just indulge in gossip. Here he says, as surely as the north wind brings rain. This was something that was true of Palestine. They knew when the north wind came, that rain would be coming in, that the clouds, rain clouds would be coming in through that north wind, and it would just be a matter of time before it would rain. Same with gossip. If you participate in gossip, the secrets that you share that should not be shared, sooner or later will get out that you're the one that shared the things that shouldn't have been shared. And have you noticed that people don't like that? People get angry when a confidence is breached, when someone says things that they don't know anything about, when they just take part of the story and share it. See, we should be concerned about others' reputation, how it makes them look. So that the words I say, if I say some things and it makes people see them in an unfavorable light, I should be concerned about that. Now, that doesn't mean I just overlook problems, I overlook wrongs, I overlook those things. No, but I deal with the people one-on-one. I go to them to deal with those things that are not really attractive. But to go over and talk to a bunch of people and talk to a bunch of people, remember earlier it says it goes into a man's innermost parts? In other words, it ruins the person's reputation. Now this person thinks of that person that way, and it's hard for them not to think of them that way. It destroys community. It destroys intimacy and closeness in relationships. Because now people think of that person in this way. And it's hard to remove that stain that you put on there that maybe it's not even true. You know, when you hear things in the newspaper about a certain person, you read the story. Oh, wow. Ooh, ooh. Now when you see them on TV or they're in a commercial or something, what do you feel? You go, that jerk. What they did with blah, blah, blah. And you find out, he says, I was innocent. I was slandered. And they have a slander suit, and they win the slander suit. So what? So they win the slander suit. The word has got out. People still think that. People still feel that, even though you say, I'm innocent. It goes into the innermost part, and it stays there. It's hard to clean up. So if you are a wise person, you'll be considerate of those people's reputation so that when you say something, you go, you know what, I really can't talk about that. There's an issue there that, yes, there's an issue there, but I don't feel free that I have their permission to say anything about that. But you're trying to guard and protect. If you love somebody, you're trying to protect their reputation. And you deal with it privately. That's the first step. Now, let's go back to the scripture here. It says in Proverbs 16:28, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife, and then gossip separates the best of friends. So again, here's the consequence of gossip. It separates the best of friends. What used to be a close friendship now becomes breached, so that there's a wall between the two. There's the animosity even between the two because of things that were said that should not have been said. See, they become, a person who's a gossip becomes a troublemaker. And they plant seeds of strife. When it talks about planting seeds, it doesn't immediately happen. But sooner or later, a crop comes and it causes strife. Now, you have a lot of conflict. You have a lot of problems. And Proverbs says you want to eliminate the conflict and a lot of problems, get rid of the gossip. The person who gossip, get rid of them. And conflict, strife, those things disappear. So if you think you're doing such a good thing sometimes, you know, this is the weird thing about us. We justify what we do. I was just concerned. You can justify it in your mind. But God sees the real thing, and you're lying to yourself. And you're the one that's causing problems. And it'll come back on you. You'll find that people will treat you as you treat them. People will start talking about you. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I heard that. You know what? I slipped them. You know what? I don't really want to talk about that. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that. So let's not talk about that. You got anything else to talk about? I am not fun. They were going to have a little entertainment. And I just squashed their entertainment. Now, I have participated sometimes. And I'm going, oh, what a dumb thing to do. But it's best that I participate. It won't do anything good. It doesn't bring any good fruit. Now, here's another thing that can bring harm. And you need to examine your life, see if this is happening. When what you say hides the truth. When what you say hides the truth. What are you hiding? What are you hiding? See, the tongue, it says in chapter 15, verse 4, it says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Again, here's the point, is that there are two things going on here. One is the tongue that brings healing, that would be the wise. It's a tree of life. In other words, the fruit of that tree is life. The fruit of this person's life, what they say, brings life. It brings healing. It restores. But the deceitful tongue, instead of restoring, it crushes. It crushes the spirit. In other words, another way to say it, it brings grief. It brings anguish to that person. Because, see, when we are deceitful and we leave out things, that's what you do. You're hiding. You're not telling the whole story. You tell parts of the story so that you can lead them to a conclusion that you want them to have. So you don't say certain things, and you only say this so that they come to a certain conclusion about something, and they depend on that. They take that and go with that. And it gives them direction on how they deal with certain things because of what you said. And they trust that They trust you. And you've been leading them astray. That's what deceit does. It leads astray. And when they find out that the person they trusted withheld information so that you would come to a certain conclusion and go a certain direction and make certain decisions, and they find out it was all a lie, it's an illusion. It's crushing. Why? Because that person now is worried and bothered about the person that's been saying these things. They don't know what to do with the relationship now. Tell me, what kind of relationship can you have with someone who doesn't tell the truth? It makes it very difficult to have a relationship with them. And so it's crushing. It's grievous because you want to have a relationship with them, but they're deceitful. And so you go, wow, where does this leave us? Where do we go from here? You have that in a marriage, you got big problems. Big problems. Proverbs 26:28 says this, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattery is just saying something that you know they want to hear. Whether it's true or not, that's debatable, but it's something they want to believe. And why do they say these things? Because they want to make you happy? It's usually because they want something from you. And when people find out that that's what you do, they don't believe anything you say, and they're wary whenever you say things. They're wondering, what is the real motive behind what you say? Now, when you hide the truth, it'll bring harm to you and to others. Next, when what you say stirs up trouble. When what you say stirs up trouble. Proverbs 15:12 says, a mocker resents correction, and he will not consult the wise. Now, this word mocker, we don't use it very often. But it's a person who resents correction. That's the description here. In other words, he has disdain for advice. He kind of thinks he knows what the real thing is, and he doesn't want to find anything that is contrary to what he wants to believe or what he wants to think. So if you correct him, he doesn't like it. So how does he respond? He responds with disdain, ridicule, oh, please. That's the attitude. And it stirs up all kinds of things. But he doesn't get advice from the person who's wise, so therefore he finds himself in trouble. See, a wise person is able to learn. A mocker can never learn. They're trapped in their own pride. So if you want to see a wise person, they're able to take advice. A person who's not doesn't want to hear it. And it's a real sad thing because they're going to find themselves in trouble with no help. Here's another thing that stirs up trouble. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Where there's dissension, there might be anger. Anger will stir up dissension. Dissent, that people will be splitting up when there's anger. So if you want to your conflict start to splinter things, just speak when you're angry. Have you noticed speaking when you're angry is always a good thing? You say the right thing in the right way when you're angry. I don't. Very rarely. It's hard. So the wise person who is dealing with this is aware of their temper. Now, a hot-tempered person is the person whose temper is right there on the surface. They have it's hot, and it goes, it's quick. They're associated here with a mocker. They're very tied to, very similar. That they're easily angered because they don't want to hear. So this hot temper stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Patience, we'll learn a little bit later, is a virtue of a wise person who has speech that is helpful. Patience. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before the dispute breaks out. Here's the thing. A floodgate or a dam, it's when you start a quarrel, when you start a fight. How many have ever started a fight? Some of you are lying. You know, we've been talking about lying and hiding the truth. How many has ever started a quarrel? All right. Got more hands up. When you do, here's the thing. You don't know where this is going to end. Because once it's out, you don't control it. It goes where it goes. So you got to be very aware that if you want to go there, sometimes I'll tell somebody, do you really want to go there? Do you want to go there? I don't think you want to go there. Let's not go there. Go there. What is he talking about? He's talking about, I don't want to have a fight over this issue and have it go in a direction that I did not intend. How many times have people been in this situation where they are quarreling, where they are in a fight, and someone started this fight because they were angry and they were going to just do it, and it went someplace they didn't want and never intended, and it did damage that they wish it never had. It's not wise. Not wise. So stop before a dispute breaks out. Now, let's talk about bringing help. How can what you say bring help? Here's the thing that we want to do. You watch for what you don't want, and you have to look at how can I be a part of what God wants and what I want. This is what can bring help. When what you say brings clarity. When what you say brings clarity. Proverbs 15:23 says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. That takes wisdom. Saying the right thing at the right time. Saying a fitting reply. In other words, it fits perfectly. Sometimes when I do, and it's very rarely, home repair, things don't fit like they should. And I try to force the fit. You know, that's probably not a good thing. Because things don't last very long when you try to do that. Having a fit reply, in other words, the right word, can make all the difference of bringing things together and having it work right. Not having the right word can do just the opposite. So it's important to, again, weigh your words so that you have the right thing. One of the things that we do as a believer, and what I want you to do, is to gain wisdom, and the source of wisdom is from the Bible, from God. God wants you to be wise so that your life is characterized by a person who says the right thing, the right way, at the right time. And they bring health, peace, and wholeness from what they say. Another scripture, Proverbs 25, verses 11 and 12, says this, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear." Now, here's a couple things. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So, when you say the right thing at the right time, it's like having this gold that's very valuable, and it's set in silver. It goes together. Now, some of you ladies watch those shows on TV where they talk about decorating and things. I mean, there's like, I don't know how many shows they got on how to decorate a house, but they got, anyhow, having the right thing. You know, you don't put this with that. It just looks, and you have certain colors that make a certain atmosphere, and certain things will bring peaceful setting, you know, and if you have the wrong thing, it's, I don't know, it's important because they have these shows and they're very popular. Well, the thing about saying the right words, you want to make sure that they go together with the situation so they're set right. Now, a person who is wise, their words are valuable. And one of the things that a wise man does is rebukes. In other words, they speak to a situation and they give clarity. That's what a rebuke does. It corrects faulty thinking, faulty actions, wrong-headed thinking, wrong-headed actions, so that when they say something, they say, no, that's not true. This is what's true. And they correct you, and they rebuke you. You can't do that. You've got to stop that. This is what that's what a wise person can do. Now, a person who's wise will know the people that a rebuke is good. There are some, don't waste your words. And a person's wise knows when it is good to say something to a person when it's not. But a part of wisdom is it brings clarity. See, rebuke is a good thing. Correction is a good thing. It's part of training. It's a part of someone who is more mature helping someone who's less mature. That's why it's good to have a mature believer in your life, because they can speak into your life and say, no, no, correct that. That's, don't want to do that. And save them a lot of grief. So it brings clarity to a situation. Again, Proverbs says in chapter 16, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So a wise man, when he speaks, he guides. In other words, what he says brings guidance. It brings clarity. It brings guidance. And it promotes learning, growing. It says instruction here. And the words bring a sense of pleasure when you receive them and they have their effect. It brings pleasure. How does it bring pleasure? Righteousness can be very pleasant. Righteousness brings peace. Righteousness brings harmony. Righteousness brings intimacy and closeness. So a person who's living a righteous life, who's speaking and sharing righteous things and doing righteousness because they've been instructed, finds that these kind of words that instruct them, they gain pleasure from them. Why? Because they know the results of these things. And they have a hunger for these things that will bring health to their life. And they're sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, when we talk about your bones, it's talking about the deepest parts of you. Okay? The bones. That's how they would say that something's very deep. These words bring healing to the bones. Now, It's an amazing thing to let God use you in a way that when you speak, it brings a change in a person, and you can see that there's a righteousness and a holiness, there's a purity, there's a wholeness that comes into that person's life that wasn't there before because of the words that were said. It's really phenomenal. Now, here's another thing. When what you say sets things right, again, this is an important thing. A rebuke is one of those things. Again, a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. A rebuke does more for a person of understanding. Now, here's the contrast. A person of understanding and a fool. A fool has no understanding. But a person who has understanding can receive a rebuke. Now, how many have you ever received a rebuke? Wasn't that enjoyable? No. See, there's a contrast here. 100 lashes on the back of a fool. That's very, very painful. But they don't gain anything from it. A rebuke is painful sometimes. But it'll bring health. I don't like criticism sometimes. Let me just say this. If a person doesn't love you and they criticize you, just kind of put that away. Don't receive it. Because it's probably not done for the right reasons. Even if they may be right, it's hurtful. But a person who loves you and says things that are corrective. And when I mean corrective, it may seem to be a critique of what you're doing and saying that's wrong, and you may look at it as a criticism. But they're concerned that you go the right direction, and so they bring out and say, this is wrong. This won't have the results that you want. It's not easy to say that to a person, and it's not easy to receive. But a person who's wise will be able to give it and receive it. And it sets things right. Proverbs 28:23 says, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. This is something that doesn't happen right away. When a person's rebuked, in the end, they realize what was said was helpful and brought health to their life, and they appreciate it. And the person who has flattered them, it really hasn't done anything, because see, flattery a lot of times is not based on truth. So it won't have any good results. Next, when what you say makes things better. Now, this is I think is pretty profound here. Proverbs 25, verse 15, and it says this. With patience, you can convince a ruler, and a gentle word can get through to the hard-headed. Now, how do you make things better? Patience and a gentle word will do more to make things better than any other way. That's a wise person. New Living Translation puts it this way. Patience can persuade a prince, and a soft speech can break bones. That's an interesting picture, right? See, a person in authority. Here's the picture here. Another version says the commander. Now, they're used to confrontation. They're used to having people attack them. And they're used to those, they're prepared to defend themselves. Okay? But if a person is very patient, and they take time to explain things, they take time to talk to the person, and they use gentle words, They don't use harsh speech. What they say is even the way they say it. See, there's a gentleness. Jesus was gentle. He wasn't wimpy, but he was gentle. Because he knew when to say things and how to say things to people. And if you want to have your words received and be able to get around the defenses, use gentleness. Be gentle. In other words, you bring down the volume of your voice, maybe. You watch the words you say so they're not hurtful. And you find that the words will have an effect that brings change. It will get through. And these two things are a part of wisdom, patience and gentleness. And next, Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. Now this word nourish, in other places in the Bible, it's used for shepherd. In other words, the point of it is that the righteous lead people to a source that will bring nourishment to them, as a shepherd leads his sheep to a place to be fed. It's part of bringing them to a place where they can be healthy, where they can be nourished. So the words that a person says who is righteous nourishes many. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This ties into Proverbs 25, verse 15. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Have you noticed that? Have you ever tried that? Someone's very angry, and you speak calmly and quietly, and you just, yes, that's, I understand. After a while, they don't have to shout anymore. It brings things down. It turns away the wrath. It calms things down. But if you get in their face, guess what? We're picking it up to another level. If you shout back, you have anger in your voice, you get back in their face, ends badly. Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. We talked about that earlier. Now, finally, we need God's help to be wise in what we say, because you can't be wise all by yourself. You can't use the right words all by yourself. This is not something that you have the ability to do. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. You have to have a source to gain wisdom from. You are dependent on the wisdom of God. You don't have wisdom, righteous wisdom, in and of yourself. So you have to study God's truth in order to gain a heart that's wise. So if you don't know what the Bible says, you're going to just give counsel that comes from your mind or comes from the world. And the results are not guaranteed. Psalm 141:3, David said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, to keep the door of my lips. What was he doing? He says, Lord, I need your help. Sometimes you say, Lord, please just help me not to say the wrong thing. Help me, help me, help me. You ever done that? I have. Because I was ready to just let it fly. And I just was praying, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. I'm ready to just do something I know is not good. Help, 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 help. I had to. I was desperate. If I didn't have God's help at that moment, I was going to say some things that I would regret. But it just felt so, you ever had that happen where you just want to, and you're praying, God, just put a lock on the lips so I don't say what I don't want to say. See, one of the things that you are as a Christian is that you belong to God. And you are to offer your bodies to the Lord. Remember we talked about that some time back when we were studying the book of Romans, Romans 12. Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. One of the things you need to offer to the Lord is your lips, your tongue, your mouth. And say, Lord, it is yours. Remember we talked about when you're going down the right path, you include God in the choices that you make. You bring him into the thing. You bring him there. So when you're talking, you're going to say something, you bring the Lord into it. Say, Lord, is this the words that I should use? Is this what I should say? You're dependent on God. And it's his power of the Holy Spirit that helps you say the right thing at the right time. So we need God's help to be wise. We need God's help to be able to say the right thing in the right way in the right time. Now, this is a huge subject, and what I want to conclude here is that weigh your words. Learn how to be wise in what you say. As a community of believers, as people who get close to each other, it's very important that you watch what you say. It's easy to have good relationships with people, so to speak, when all you speak is cliches. You don't get in trouble with those, usually. But when you get closer, things come out, things are seen, and you have to watch what you say, how you say it, so that you can be a source of help rather than hurt. So watch what you say. Let God be involved in your speech so that God can bring a righteousness and a beauty and health to you and others. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you give us. And Lord, we want our words, what we say, our speech, how we talk, to be a reflection of you. So that when we speak, it has results that are godly. It's so easy to let ourselves be used of the enemy to bring hurt and damage by what we say. So Lord, help us to be able to be wise. We thank you and pray these things in your name. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the heat. And we'll see you next week.